You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
El Huddle is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio.
We're still here, guys. The season never really stops for those who work in the NFL.
Never.
That's just the way we like it. Welcome into the El Huddle podcast. I'm MJ Acosta Ruiz con mi primo hermano, Will Selva, as always. It feels like Super Bowl was a year ago, and yet it really wasn't.
Part of the reason why is because of the extra game. And so because as a result, there's that short amount of time between the Super Bowl and the scouting combine where it doesn't feel like we're getting much of a breather and we're getting right into it.
Yes.
I don't know if you had a chance to watch it. Follow me if you can. But I watched Shogun.
Shogun?
Yes. That is this new series that's on FX and Hulu.
Okay.
And
intrigued.
Watched the first two episodes. It's very much like Game of Thrones-esque.
Say more.
Where it's very picturesque, amazing, tension, the acting's unbelievable, cinematography, top-notch. And I feel like we are in this Shogun phase of the NFL where you have all these teams that are trying to gain their alliances with these various players and trying to figure out their strategy. Now, here's the thing that I will tell you, like about 10% of it is in English. So you'll be doing a lot of reading and so you got to pay attention, but I tell you, it is worth it.
What's the other 90%?
Well, it's Japanese. So
yes. Okay, so, I didn't know the origin story.
So it was very, very impressive. And so it feels like we're kind of in this mode right now where these NFL teams are trying to gain these alliances with these players, and some of these players are trying to figure out what's best for them. Mm-hmm. And as we know, some of these players aren't going to be showcasing their skills, like a Marvin Harrison Jr. We know he's the best wide receiver in this draft. He's going without an agent. That's how he's doing it. But Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams are deciding to show up, but they're going to showcase their skills during the pro day.
Right.
And it just is so fascinating to see the information that is purposely leaked and the stuff that's accidentally leaked out there.
I don't think anything is accidental.
Right?
I'm a conspiracy theorist in that sense.
All of it's intentional.
All of it's intentional.
Yeah.
All of it is intentional.
Trying to drum up some sort of interest.
It's Game of Thrones, no question.
Yeah, there you go.
Or Shogun in this instance. But you're right. I was able to pop into the Combine very briefly, 24 hours, by design. And it's just cool. Like the energy is on another level, right? Because it does feel like the start of a brand new season, which our producer Randy cringed about. I get it, Randy. Yeah. I do. I get it. Like, what do you mean?
Yeah, it's
We're still recovering from the Randy. Super Bowl. but like for these prospects, it very, very much is, I don't want to say the beginning because they've been training for this their entire lives.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly in the collegiate portion of their careers too. But this is the first big touch point for them that they're like, oh crap. All right. Now the GMs are here. Now the coaches are here. Ownership is here. The commissioner is here, for God's sakes. Like, this is the real moment, I think, as I speak to some of them, where it's like their oh crap moment. all right, it's happening.
Yeah,
for
yeah.
sure. So it's just really cool to feel the energy and to see folks excited about like the future of the league and like mm-hmm. the new guys that are coming in. So it's cool.
Yeah, I always like, though, delving into the big white binder that we get.
Oh, my research. God, the research binder.
And some yes. of the names like Storm Duck.
The
like,
best. That's the all, best thing
that's
is
my
the
favorite one yes. so far.
Yes. And then also there's like the pronunciation guide, right?
Yes.
Which is very, very important. And we always butcher it. So apologies yes. in advance to yes. all the prospects with wonderful names that we cannot get right.
Yeah, but you know,
we're just gonna like, tell you now, we're sorry.
Yeah, I know, in advance. We'll eventually get
we'll
there.
Get it. Remember yeah. Tua? Oh my God.
Yeah, a lot of people
we
have
got it now.
Find. Yeah. Tua Tagovailoa, we right. have down.
Now it just rolled off the tongue, but at first we were just calling him Tua.
Yeah.
We're like, oh, and no. Tua's great.
Tua's good. So much easier to do.
Yeah.
But you know, you bring up Tua, and Tua's now been in the league for a little bit. Kirk mm-hmm. Cousins' name has popped up. What's mm-hmm. he going to do? Mm-hmm. There's a video mm-hmm. that surfaced of him working out.
Tennis courts,
after,
right?
Yeah, yes. mm-hmm. on a tennis court. They're working out his Achilles. It's just amazing yeah. how modern medicine works mm-hmm. where these guys now have an Achilles injury or torn ACL, and the recovery time is so much shorter than what it used to be.
Right.
And so you hear about his future. Then you're hearing about Russell Wilson and what the Broncos are going to do, and it mm-hmm. sounds like Sean Payton is done with Russell Wilson
based on
what he had said.
The drama never stops.
It doesn't.
That's the whole point. I know is Russell was at the SAG Awards with Ciara, who was looking fantastic.
Amazing. Yes.
Post baby. I know that's right. He looked great. He was in a tux. Just like
he wears it well.
Fixing her dress on the red carpet as he should. He looks very unbothered.
He
is my point.
He was unbothered. He didn't seem like he was unbothered, but he does speak kind of like through both sides of it, where it's like wants to be, or he says that he wants to be with the Broncos and win Super Bowls, but also on the other end, it's like, hey, you know, I'll do it for the veteran minimum if I have to. Hmm. And so it just feels like Sean Payton inherited him. And it sounds like...
And that's always a dicey
That's
dynamic.
Always dicey, right? Mm-hmm. Because you're married to this guy,
right.
for better or for worse, or you
it's
say
an arranged
like,
marriage.
It's absolutely an arranged marriage. So mm-hmm. So hearing some of those names like Russell Wilson and Kirk Cousins, those are names that are surfacing. But then... you know, the quarterbacks that are coming out in this class. This is a loaded class. And
which we haven't had a loaded QB class.
No. So this feels fun to me. Like Drake May, I want to see him work out. We had Brian Hoyer on Good Morning Football filling in, and he thought that Drake May reminded him of Josh Allen, the way that he throws the ball and how impressive he looks on film.
And Josh Allen now.
Josh Allen now. Josh Allen now. Because we were coming out of Wyoming, you know, there was still some concern mm-hmm. about the upside
Correct.
And what he could bring, you know, worth the risk. And he ended up working out and developing into the Josh Allen that we know. But then how about a guy like Michael Penix Jr.? There's a lot of concern over mm-hmm. his health.
Yeah,
you know, and
which
his
is always
niece.
The main priority, right? Like, how healthy are these guys? How mm-hmm. how beat up did they get in college?
Yeah,
are they gonna be fresh? But like that also happened. Just to use the reference point of Tua, who was coming into the league with that tremendous coming off of that hip, and that took a beat, right? To really get there. So I think the development part of it, the patience part of it, not everyone's going to be a CJ Stroud who came in and did unbelievable things in his rookie season, not just for himself, but for the team with a new head coach in that as well. So I think it's always like the tempering the expectations. Jalen Hurts, same thing, right?
That's right.
And
yeah.
So it's always interesting because I think we see so much more of these guys now with social media, with the NIL deals that they're having. They're so visible that we automatically assume or expect that that's just going to translate apples to apples into the NFL. And that's mm-hmm. just not how it works 99% of the time.
Right, so. Right. And for a lot of these guys too, they have to adjust to certain systems, mm-hmm. certain schemes,
no question.
Verbiage,
yeah.
all that.
The playbooks and are then, much bigger now.
Yeah, a lot thicker, a lot like those research
binders.
For binders that we get, right?
Yeah.
It's like you can bench press one of those puppies.
Truly.
I mean, those things are massive. But a guy like, say, Bo Nix, really talented player at Oregon, you know, put up crazy, ungodly numbers, like what team's going to take him? How high is he going to go? And there's so many quarterback needy teams.
That's
MJ
the other
as well.
Part.
That's what makes it so intriguing. Like Atlanta, they've said it. All options are on the table, you know, of who they're looking at. We mentioned the Broncos, obviously the Patriots, the Commanders who sit there at number two. They have Adam Peters, who worked with the 49ers for several years. And they have Cliff Kingsbury, who worked with Caleb Williams at USC. Is he going to convince them to then trade up? Because
I think that number one spot situation is going to be
I love
very
it, though. I love it, though. That's what makes it so, so great. That's what makes this.
And we'll have 7,000 theories before it actually happens, or they just,
for sure.
Or they just keep it. But we're excited because there's also in the midst of all of this free agency.
Oh,
so
by the way,
we don't sleep. We're not joking, guys. When it doesn't stop, it just doesn't. But we have one man entering free agency. He's not unfamiliar with it, but an absolute legend of the game, a Super Bowl champion. We have Lavonte David joining us on the other side of the break here on the El Huddle podcast.
Yeah, stay with us.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Oh, MJ, we've got a great guest. We're talking about if you are an offensive player, whether you're a running back, wide receiver, tight end, you want to stay away from this man. He is the epitome, the definition of a perro macho, what we talk about here on the El Huddle podcast.
I know that's right.
We're talking about a legend, someone who is synonymous with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He's up there, in my opinion, with Derek Brooks, Warren Sapp, et al.
No question, a Super Bowl champion.
Super Bowl champion. Without further ado, let's bring in linebacker Lavonte David. What's up, Lavonte?
Thank you, thank you. That's a great introduction, man. I like that.
We had to butter you up. We had to butter you up, Lavonte, you know? Listen, you are right now in the midst of your off season. So how does a typical off season look for you?
Right now, you know, early in my career, you know, I get right to it. Just go ahead and just start back training. Right. Just because, you know, just as a young guy, you're just missing football. You just want to do something football related. Maybe take a vacation here and there. But me right now, you know, I'm just finished year 12. I'm gonna chill for about a month or two. I let my body heal. But you know, last week was my first week actually, you know, starting back working out. So right now I'm just kind of like back home in Miami, just getting back in the field of things. You know, just trying to figure out what my plan is for the off season and stuff like that. But just enjoying time with family, and you know, enjoying the great weather, and just, you know, enjoying the fruits of my labor, honestly.
100% Oh, that
the grind never stops.
That part. But you know, year 12, like that's, we hear it all the time. The average, and of course, Lavonte could never be categorized as average in any scope.
No.
But most players don't see a career with that kind of tenure and longevity, let alone the success that you've had and reaching the highest point in reaching a Super Bowl. So this is a new meaning to veteran days, right? You take that month. You take that month or two because you know exactly what to do to get yourself back in there. But free agency approaching now, and you made it very clear that you want to retire a Buck. So how have you just been navigating in your mind sort of what could come and what you see for the year ahead?
This is my third time actually going to free agency, you know, and, you know, the previous two times, obviously, I went back to the Bucks.
Right.
But, you know, every offseason, you know, those past couple of years, everything was different. You know, the first time, you know, I was on a team to where, you know, we wanted to, you know, kind of have, we had a chance to repeat, stuff like that. You know, we had Tom as our quarterback, so there was always, you know, chances and things like that. And, you know, this year just more about my legacy, you know, obviously playing Tampa for 12 years, you know, not many people have done that. The likes of guys like Rondae Barber, Derrick Brooks, you know, guys like that. So I definitely, you know, would love to, you know, be in that same situation. But at the end of the day, you never know what happens.
Sure.
At this point in my career, I want to, you know, kind of do what's best for me, you know, and what's more convenient for me. So whatever happens, happens. I'm just taking the by storm, man, and going from there.
Well, Todd Bowles had mentioned that two of his priorities are re-signing Baker Mayfield and Mike Evans, like yourself, an institution there in Tampa. How do their situations affect you, if at all, for free agency?
Yeah. Me personally, I don't think it does, because, you know, at the end of the day, if they want me back, they'll find a way to get me back. But you know, Mike Evans is my number one priority too. me watching Mike grow, you know, over his career. He just finished year 10. I just remember him coming in as this tall, fat, chubby rookie at wide receiver. And just watch him, you know, develop into, you know, one of the greatest receivers to play the game. And just watching his growth off the field, it's amazing to see. And, you know, Mike is definitely deserving of whatever he asked for. That's in my opinion. And after the season that Baker had, you know, he definitely deserved to, you know, get a long-term contract and be able to put himself ahead for his family and his future. So, you know, I'm sure those guys are really, you know, great priorities. But, you know, just me, I'm just sitting back, you know, watching how everything unfold, and then I'll go from there.
Levante, you mentioned the word legacy earlier. Mm-hmm. And I think with someone who has accomplished so much in their career and reached the highest point, what do you have left to accomplish in your mind that you have still, you know, there's obviously still so much gas in the tank for you. And what do you want your legacy to be?
Yeah, I think right now it's just at the point of, like, coming off the season I came off, you know, I kind of had a, you know, great year, like I was back in my younger days. Mm-hmm. So that right there kind of gave me, you know, more motivation. You know, people telling me maybe I could go one or two more years and stuff like that. So then I think the motivation really is just out there competing with the young guys, you know, people who, you know, get hyped up and stuff like that. So just seeing if I could still, you know, play with those guys and move around with those guys. So I think that brings a lot of motivation to it. But like you said, you know, I just want to be, you know, remembered, you know, as like when you talk about the position linebacker, I want my name to be brought up, you know, with some of the greats. And that's just what I'm going for right now. You know, I always have a chip on my shoulder. But, you know, I think my drive and my love for the game keeps me going and keeps me, you know, ready to, you know, play at my highest level. So whenever that time ends to where, like, I don't think I can play at my highest level, then maybe I'll call it a day.
Well, it's apparent what you have given to the city and to the franchise, right? And with this past season, it was – largely seen as one that was a rebuilding year for the Bucks, and it was anything but, because you guys ended up surprising everybody in a way to get to the playoffs where no one thought you would be. Describe what the ride was like going from, well, I don't know if this is going to happen, to, hey, this is now happening. We have hit our stride, and now we're going to the postseason.
Yeah, I think, you know, starting the offseason, obviously when we lost Tom, that's when all the rumblings came about. You know, we know how much Tom meant to, you know, the game of football and not just our organization. So just scrambling, trying to find a quarterback, and we end up getting Baker. And, you know, the majority of our team from the Super Bowl team was, you know, still here. You know, the core pieces of those guys were still on the roster, guys who contributed big. And, you know, I think that played a huge part, their leadership. And then, you know, we did have a lot of young guys who kind of like bought in, you know, just trying to get their feel, you know, guys having to play right away. They kind of got their feel, and that kind of came up, like, to guys like me, Mike, you know, some of the other veterans, Will Golson, things like that, to, you know, kind of like be that leader that these guys need, to get them on the same page and let them understand that, you know, we still got a chance to, you know, be great. Because at one point we was 4-7.
It's crazy.
I'm sure nobody had, you know, faith in us, you know, shoot. But I think Coach Bowles did a great job of just keeping everybody calm and understand that it's still a long, long season. And our goals are still was attainable. And we was able to do that. We went on, I believe we won 6 out of the next 7. Mm-hmm. So we was able to, you know, win the division again. And, you know, going to the in the wild card hot.
Yeah, it was a cool, cool ride. You mentioned, you know, still running around with the young ones, right? Which is nuts at, what, 34 now, Levante? Like, in NFL years, everyone's like, it's a medical miracle. Yeah. 34 years old. Like, child, we're just getting started. What are you talking about? But it's true. Combine is, of course, this week. And I feel, and I'm sure you've assessed this and you watch the guys coming out of college, they're built a little different nowadays. What is your assessment of just even, let's just focus on like the defensive players coming into the league now, how they train, the things that they can do, but also your advice to them, because those things still hold true. Like the NFL is just different. The uptick can't be quantified.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you say built different, I'm assuming you talk about mentally
even physically, like some of the guys that come in, I'm like, wait, at your size, you should not be running that fast or moving in that manner. Sure. Like it's wild.
Sure. But mentally too, though, there's something to be said about that, right?
For sure. Yeah.
Mentally too, especially, you know, with the NIL stuff coming about.
Mm-hmm. We were just talking about this. Yep.
A lot of guys were kind of like used to having stuff handed to them. Mm. But like when you're in the league, you know, you get an opportunity and then you mess it up. I don't think people are not going to hold your hand. They're going to figure out like you can't get it done. The next guy up. So it's just, you know, dealing with that battle coming in as a young guy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, me, myself, you know, just having some rookies, you know, to name, Kalaja Kansi, you know, I knew Kalaja. Went to the same high school as me. So, you know, him coming in, you know, just dealing with the effects of being the first overall pick. And then, you know, for him to, you know, he started out, you know, the season injured. So he was having a hard time with that. So for me, just, you know, he's somebody who he's familiar with and comfortable with. Just kind of like giving him a little advice, like, you know, it's a long season, man. You're going to get your opportunity. And then, you know, he did come on. He balled out. You know, he won Defensive Rookie of the Month one time. So I told him, just be patient, you know, you still got a little time, you know, you don't got to rush into nothing. And then we had another young rookie coming in playing at nickel, Izzy. So he was an undrafted free agent. So he was one of those guys who I had to talk to a lot because, you know, playing in a Bulls defense is not easy.
Yeah.
You know, so a lot of communication got to take place. And he was one of those young guys who had to communicate. So we had to force that on him. And, not really force it, but just like kind of like make them comfortable, you know, just let them know like, hey, I'm counting on you right here. So that kind of like give them a little confidence and all those guys came on well.
Yeah. Yaya Diaby, also another great player who blossomed on the defensive unit. We touched upon the combine. It's happening for you. What do you remember from that time when you had to be in your short shorts, your tank, and you're out there and you're running and you're answering questions? What do you remember about that time?
Wait, were they still short shorts 12 years ago?
Maybe. I don't know. Were they? Yeah. I guess.
No. The fashion has evolved.
Yeah. This is when I came out, it was the big pants era.
There, there you go. Yes. Yeah.
There's a couple like shower curtains. You know what I mean?
Yes.
But I remember my combine. 2 days, like it was yesterday, you know, getting in and going immediately to meetings, you know, then you got to, you know, do all the testing, the drug testing, the weight testing, the bench testing. And my whole thing was just my weight going into the combine. So I was kind of like, you know, stressed about that. So I was just like trying to drink a lot of water. And then, you know, sometimes you barely eat. They wake you up at 4 a.m. and you're getting right to it. So, and then I remember, it was at one point in the combine, we was doing drills, and I ended up having to throw up. So I ran to the bathroom, and now when I go in the bathroom, I see somebody else in there. I'm like, dang, you too? So I kind of felt good about it. So I kind of felt good about it. But then after I got that out of my system, maybe it was nerves, I don't know. But maybe once I got that out of my system, I was comfortable, I was able to relax now.
Yeah.
Was there a coach that was in there with you at all, Levante, who was testing you seeing how you guys were probably responding?
I don't honestly, I don't even remember who the coaches was. I just remember the players, man. Just that I feel like I remember more of the players because you just working with guys who are all trying to, you know, reach the pinnacle, you know, and that's being in the NFL. And like, you're just looking around like, man, all us chasing our dreams. And that was a great thing to be a part of.
Yeah, team bonding at a different level. I mean, it could have been a lot of things. Sleep deprivation, nerves, physical exhaustion.
Let's go dry heave into the bathroom.
Right,
you know?
let's go a good dry heave. Okay, yeah. Who is it? Is it a Josh Allen who throws up before every game?
Does Josh? I don't know.
Don't quote me. But
I'm sure Levante probably knows some guys who do that before a game, right? Were they, you know?
I do it sometimes, honestly.
Wow.
Yeah.
Look,
I try to eat like a light meal before the game, but if I eat a heavy meal and I'm, you know, going out before the game and I feel it, so I just try to force myself to go.
See, like, that's what I like. How do you, because obviously you need fuel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For what you have to do, but then, like, you have to balance. It's too much. See, all of y'all are real different. You're not regular humans. Okay, we definitely want to hear more about the Levante Legends Foundation.
Yeah.
And what you guys are doing.
Yeah, the Levante Legends Foundation, the foundation I came about. You know, I basically work with Big Brothers Big Sisters for the majority part of it. You know, I'm a national ambassador for Big Brothers Big Sisters, so a lot of my funding to the foundation kind of like goes back to them. And you know, it's been going really well. And you know, I'm very, very proud of that, just because of the mentorship and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, I always go back to, you know, when I was growing up, I didn't really have, you know, a mentor to really like in my community where I could like lean on and see people who wear my shoes now do that back then. So I just kind of like try to do that now, just because, you know, I know how impactful it would have been for me. Mm-hmm. And like over the years since I've been doing it, I see the impact that it has on the kids. So that's why I really appreciate it. You know, a lot of people still, you know, send me messages. And then when I do whole events, they tell me about how this kid I met 4 or 5 years ago, you inspired him when he was in a bad place. And now he's just going to college doing this and that. So when I hear stuff like that, all it does is drive me and motivate me to continue doing what I'm doing. So, you know, I'm definitely, you know, grateful for Big Brothers Big Sisters and, you know, my team for helping me start the foundation. So it's definitely something that I want to continue to do, you know, throughout, you know, after football.
I mean, you've done much good work in the community, and even on IG, you acknowledged it when you got your degree from Nebraska. You said something to the effect that you want to make your mom proud, but also that your younger self would be proud of your older self.
Yeah.
And that seems to be something that drives you in everything that you do.
Yeah, I think so. You know, going to my mom part, you know, it was something that I always promised her. To be the first in my family to actually graduate, you know, for I think first in generations to actually graduate from college. Wow. Was something that I wanted to do really bad. You know, I left school early, but I did promise her that I was going to go back and get it. And it just so happened I was able to do it on Mother's Day. So that was an amazing feeling. And then, you know, when I say, you know, my younger self being proud of my older self, was just like, I never thought I would be in this position. You know, I grew up in Miami, and you know, I just had a whole bunch of stuff going on around me, so I could have easily veered off and went to the wrong path.
Sure.
But, you know, just having my parents and my family there to, you know, keep me disciplined, keep me on the right track and focus on the main thing, I was able to, you know, accomplish what I want, what I need to accomplish, not only for me, but also for my family.
You know, someone else who shares that connection with you, with Big Brothers Big Sisters, Rashad White. He was on El Huddle while we were at Super Bowl at Radio Row, and he had his big with him there. So it's like incredible to see that those relationships and that mentorship really carries on well into your adulthood. And now he's mentoring someone, and it's just incredible what the organization does. So I love that you're still. He basically explained the same thing like you're saying. Once you're in that family, there's no way that you can detach, right? Like it just stays with you for your whole life.
Yeah. You just see all the good things that it does for the community and for the people. So you just want to be a part of, you know, when I found out Rashad was I reached out to him immediately. And like every time I do an event, I make sure he's there just to have a good example for the kid.
I love that. Before I let you go, my fellow Miamian, what high school did you go to again? Remind me.
Miami Northwestern, home of the Bulls, baby.
Let me tell you something about Miami Northwestern, boys. I went to Sunset High School, and our football team, God bless them, they were not great. We had like the soccer and the baseball down.
You just get trounced all the time.
But Miami Northwestern was just one of those high school that pumps out top tier NFL talent. Yeah. So I wanted you to say it. I wanted you to shout out Miami Northwestern there.
You know I ain't going to be shy about it. I'm going to shout it out whenever.
Never that. Levante, thank you so much. It's been great hanging with
you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us on the podcast. Good luck to you. I hope that things work out between you and the Bucks, but if that doesn't, we are going to be rooting for you wherever you land, regardless. You're just a good dude, gentle giant, and we totally support you, man. So thank you again for being on here.
Yeah, appreciate y'all. Thank y'all for having me. God bless.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Bienvenidos de nuevo, nuestra gente. This is the El Huddle Podcast. You just heard Levante David. I swear to you, I have a man crush on Levante David, right? He's this gentle giant.
He's from Miami. So.
Yeah, well, of course. That's
cool people.
You gotta you gotta roll with the girl, for sure.
No, he's great. He's great.
Yeah, and I do hope that somehow the Bucks figure out something to bring him back, because he has meant so much, as we mentioned, to him, you know, to that community and to that franchise. Yeah. And it was interesting going into the mental aspect of it when we talked about some of these young Bucks entering the NFL, because that was the first place that he thought of.
Yeah.
And we were just talking about that with the NIL money and how that could potentially affect these players who are coming out, right? And how they've now received money at a certain age, and they're getting all the you know, trappings of it.
Trappings,
right?
Yeah. I just think that, look, there's a lot to be said, and I know, like, we try to dump on Gen Z a lot. They accomplish a lot, and I don't want to be old man yelling, get off my lawn moment. I think it's
but people do that, though.
Sure.
Right?
Present company included. I'm not going to lie to you guys. My whole thing is they tend to be, and I can't speak, it's not a monolith, right? So I don't want to put everybody in the same bubble. But I think that what we see from certain athletes who have maybe experienced some success with NIL, as they should.
There's like, some.
I love that they have 100% this opportunity to make this money, to be able to provide for themselves, for their family. I think it's fantastic. But I think when you don't also have the greater long game in place, you can get caught up in the sauce, right? So, like, all of it is very fleeting.
It's very fair.
Very, very fleeting. And, like, things can go like this. So when you're already seeing this kind of success, some folks can get too caught up in it and not really realize that all of it can be gone in a second. Mm-hmm. And you still need to make it to the league to continue to get these deals and to really make the kind of money that you've been working towards and to reach the pinnacle of your career that you've been working towards probably their whole lives. A lot of these guys started playing in Pop Warner and flag football like when they were little kids, right? Their whole lives have been dedicated to football. So I think it's important, and I hope that most of them have a good team around them, a good base behind them to know, like, hey, let's invest. Let's focus on, like, the mental aspect of you getting into the league. Physically, are you prepared? And most of them are, right? Mm-hmm. But they're also coming in a generation that's very overstimulated. They're more visible to us than ever before.
Also
with
true.
Social media and with these partnerships. So it's a lot more to handle.
It's like, you know, we were saying,
it's a lot
though,
more
like
to balance for them.
El deseo, la gana, right? Necesitas la gana. Uh-huh. And I feel like desire is not something that you can teach. And you got to have it within you. I guess it's possible to develop it, but you have to develop it.
You gotta be hungry.
You gotta be hungry. Yeah. And that's always the thing for me. We're always, and we've been in this business where it's like, you know somebody who's an intern that they are eager, and you just know
you
within
know the
30
ones
seconds.
That have it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the habit. And here we are in this situation where there's a bunch of talent evaluators who are seeing these young men come into these situations, and they have to play alongside you know, perro machos, like we were talking about with Levante David, and those guys, that's their livelihood, right?
Yep.
And these guys can't be jerking them around or jerking their teammates around.
No, no. It sort of goes back to that phrase we've said a bajillion times, hard work beats talent.
Yeah.
Talent doesn't work hard, especially in the NFL. Yeah. You will get humbled immediately.
Yeah.
Very, very quickly. So I root for all of them. And I, again, they're a more overstimulated generation than ever before.
Yeah.
And I always pray that they have the right people around them, because I think that that makes a huge difference. Now, some people are just not. Some people are just jerks. Like, let's just be real.
Well, yeah.
Let's just be
in
real.
In any era.
Like, that also, right. In any generation, you can't fix that always. But I think for the most part, and just in being able to speak with some of the draftees, like, they are hungry and they do want to be here. And they have worked so hard for this for their entire lives. And they have entire families, some of them entire communities behind them.
That's
that,
right.
That are waiting for this success. So I love the combine because you get to see the
See, I love this conversation. Yeah. This is like a this is
and then
a
draft night
thing.
Comes. I cry every draft, as they do too.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm here for the cheers. I'm like Auntie MJ, like, ah, this whole life just
are
changed.
Are you an ugly crier, though, or are you?
Not at draft. I'm a crier, but I am, depending on the movie I'm watching, full sob. Yeah.
Well, so I don't think there's sobbing in Chicago, but there's definitely a lot of intrigue, let's just say. And we were talking about this generation of player where now if you unfollow a team, your own particular team, it makes
this is what I'm talking about with social
news,
media, man.
Right? So, and this happened with Justin Fields.
Also, who thinks to check that?
People with too much time
Everything
looking for angles.
Is intentional. Nothing is
okay. There you go. You. That's it. Mm-hmm. So here's Justin Fields. He was defending himself. He was saying that, you know, hey, you guys are reading too much into it,
right.
And he said that on a podcast. Well, of course, Ryan Poles, the general manager, he had to be in that scrum,
at the combine,
you know,
right.
at the combine to talk to everybody on Tuesday. And that was by design, just to have him do all the one-on-ones or everything that he has to do, because everybody was asking him the same question. What are you going to do with that first overall pick? And this is what he had told reporters.
I will say this. I think you guys know me well enough now. I do, if we go down that road, I want to be right by Justin as well. No one wants to live in gray. I know that's uncomfortable. I wouldn't want to be in that situation either. So we'll gather the information. We'll move as quickly as possible. We're not going to be in a rush and see what presents itself and what's best for the organization.
He is so sick of answering that question.
Yeah, but buddy, that's
for sure, but
what's going
to
happen.
That's
his
job.
He
yeah,
has
for sure.
to. And listen, they're open for business. Personally, I just don't think that they've gotten the deal that they've wanted.
Right.
You know, and I personally think that they are going to draft Caleb Williams, in my own personal opinion.
My
it's
God.
Not a personal diss on Justin Fields. I mean, there are reports linking him, again, reports linking him to Atlanta. So is that the route that they want to go? I don't know.
Well, here's the thing is that they're going to ask for a king's ransom.
They will.
As they should.
Yes.
For that pick, because everyone's chasing Caleb.
Yeah.
Especially the teams that really, really need a quarterback. So they have a huge position of power in this instance. And they know it. I think it didn't. And that's the other wrinkle, right, to all of it. It's like the whole social media drama, blah, blah, blah. Now, you know, it adds to the storyline, which is great for us. But, he did a great job answering that question. And I'm sure he's at this point, he can recite it in his sleep because everybody's asking about what they're going to do with the number one.
You don't want to live in the gray.
You don't. Right. No. You know, we're going to check all options, see what's presented to us. Sure. Absolutely. He's not lying.
No,
he's not lying.
No, he's not.
But who is willing and can actually afford to give them what
they want?
What they want,
yeah.
And what that pick is worth to them. So,
is it Atlanta? Could they be the ones?
That would make the most sense. I feel like they're in one of the bigger positions of a need for sure.
A new coach there in Raheem Morris. Mm-hmm. He also addressed reporters, kind of looking at the future and what the outlook is for next season.
But they also need a lot of other things too. So you can't just give up everything to just get the quarterback. I mean, arguably you need the quarterback, no question.
Yeah.
Yes, and we love Desmond, we do. But yeah. It is what it is, right? Yeah. I could not be a GM.
Let's hear from Raheem. I want to see what he has to say, if at all.
If at all.
Yeah. Anything.
I'm not afraid to say that we have the ability and we're capable to go out there and win next year. If we do some of the right things, some of the right moves, we can do that. And that's not an arrogance. That's not a confidence. That's not a cockiness. That is more of a credit to the people that were in the building with me still, and some of the people that are not there now and what they've been able to do. You know, if we had better quarterback play last year in Atlanta, I might not be standing here.
Okay, come on. Okay. That's a truth bomb right there.
That was
there.
Direct. Okay, so Desmond, sorry. Basically is what he's saying. Yeah.
Free Kyle Pitts.
Yeah.
That's what I got to say. They've got talent there on that offensive end. Bijan Robinson was incredible.
No question. No question.
You know, Drake London. So for them, they are a team that I want to see what they end up doing here.
It's going to be very curious.
Yeah.
Very, very curious. But how much wiggle room do they have to... I mean, free agency will tell a lot about it, too.
Mm-hmm.
I think that starts to put, the writing on the wall. Okay, we acquired this in free agency. These are the moves that we made. Who did we go after aggressively? To see... That sort of paints the path of, okay, what are the pieces left for them to fill now through the draft?
Mm-hmm.
I love this game.
I do, too. I love these combos.
I love this game.
Yeah.
It's been interesting. You mentioned Kirk Cousins earlier because now he's on the up and up. And I've heard a couple people saying that he's, the best free agent quarterback or the best available one out there. So Kevin O'Connell was on the mic talking about Kirky and what they want to do.
What's it about Kirko Chains?
The thing about free agency itself is this is not Kirk's first time in free agency. Kirk Cousins knows how I feel about him. I've held no secrets there. He knows how the Minnesota Vikings feel about him. I believe Kirk wants to be a Viking. And we're going to work to try to make that the outcome.
Well, that's got to be the outcome.
Well, that's nice.
And Justin Jefferson signing a mega deal.
Oh,
that's
part.
A no-brainer.
Yes. Yes,
that
yes,
has
yes.
to happen. Mm-hmm. And he expressed interest in having Kirk Cousins back as as the QB. So, makes sense there for them.
Yeah. Shout out to the very nice Vikings vest.
You thought it was clean.
Very clean. Subtle. But team forward, that's cute.
Yeah, you like it.
Earlier this week at the combine, I saw quite a few GMs and coaches. I was like, wait a second, this is not available on the NFL shop.
Yeah.
Are these custom joints? Because I volunteer as tribute. I would like some of these. It's very clean. I like that. We're going more subtle in tone in terms of our gear. That sounds great for Kirk. He's been there. He's done a lot for that team. And I know he gets a lot of slack. But they love him over there, as evidenced by Coach. So,
I guess this takes us to our ipunto.
Mm-hmm.
You know what my ipunto is? Mecole Hardman, he was also on a podcast and talked about Aaron Rodgers, his experience with the Jets. Then Thomas Morstead, the punter, then came out and said, hey, you got to earn everything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, pretty much put Mecole Hardman on blast.
Yeah.
So I think this is, I know, the season for hand size and such and leaked information, but I think there's also part of these beefs that maybe we'll start to bubble a little bit. Who knew?
Such a weird
Thomas Morstead, that's a weird one, right?
It was not on my bingo card.
Not on mine
not
either.
On my bingo card, except
so my punto is giving more beefs, though, more, anyway.
There will be.
Whether they're random or not.
I love that. It's so weird.
Right?
Okay, cool. Go off, Kings. Do your thing. My punto was earlier this week at the Combine, I got to moderate the panel with the 12 full-time female coaches in
so
the NFL,
cool.
which is the most the NFL has ever had. It's the most full-time female coaches of any major league sport.
It's unbelievable.
It's tremendous. The NFL for, Women's Forum started 8 years ago by the amazing Sam Rappaport over at the league office. And I've been able to play a small slice in it, moderating these panels every year. They host 40 participants who are in the collegiate level at this point who want to find that pathway, that pipeline to get these jobs. So like sitting up on the stage with women who were sitting in the audience just the year before, proof of concept and proof to power of just how it works. And to see the coaches really buy in. Ron Rivera, of course, who has been full participant. He was one of the first to do it in the league. John Harbaugh came through. Our buddy D'Amico Ryans was there. Todd Bowles was there.
Yeah.
Dayball was there. You know, they all come through as they can throughout the combine, and it just shows that they know the talent is there. And these women have done a tremendous job, and it just shows how important it is for them to be there.
I mean, no one would have thought that would have been remotely possible.
Right.
10 years ago.
No.
5 years ago.
Right.
And it just goes to show you, and this is why the NFL is trying to go global and having games in Brazil, Spain, et cetera. If you are talented, they will find you.
Yes.
They just need the opportunities, and it's just great to see that they're doing what they can to extend those opportunities and find and recognize the talent.
Yeah, and they're in all sorts. They're in ops. They're in coaching. They're in recruiting. They're in analytics. There are some legal experts there as well. And it's just, I was like, man, I want to go to law school.
Yeah.
Commissioner Goodell was like, MJ, don't do that to yourself. I was like, you're right. I ain't going to law school, Roger. You know that's right. I'm going to say right here. But it was, it's just really cool. It's a very empowering moment. And it shows, you know, the slogan has always was typically the future of the NFL. And this year was really poignant to see them. They left that up there, but they crossed it out and then put the future is now.
Love it.
And we had all 12 women up on the stage, which Sam said she got pushed back like, oh, it's too many people on stage. And she's like, they need to see it.
Yeah.
They need to see it to understand the power that
it has. It's a visible, tangible,
tangible thing.
You
like
know?
It is available to
me. Yeah.
Which is huge. So shout out to Sam and everybody at the league office.
Shout out to you. I'm glad that you're there moderating those sorts of things and being in the middle of it.
Literally, I'm just like, will you guys be my friend? I want to be like them when I grow up. Like they're so cool. It is tremendous. And I'm never surprised, but always so impressed with everything that they're going on. So that's my punto shout out. Shout out to
them. I love it.
Women of the NFL.
I absolutely love it. And shout out to all of you who are listening to the El Lado podcast. Remember to download, subscribe, like the whole thing. Prima Hermana, the ride is continuing. Let's keep doing this.
Yeah, we love it. We will see you guys soon. And trust, we'll have more for you throughout the quote unquote not off season.
Yeah,
whatever. Thank you guys. Adios.
Adios.
In Huddle is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.